On today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, we have Tampa news. Stay tuned. Season 4, Episode 66 of the Bolts Broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Croshaw with you today. Chase, how are you on this beautiful Monday afternoon?
Oh, I'm excited. As you mentioned, we have Tampa news, so of course I'm feeling juiced. How about you?
Feeling pretty good today. It's actually somewhat nice down here in Indy. Usually, or should I say, in the past 7 days, it's been sitting in the low 90s, and even Saturday we got up to like 97. So an 81 day is really nice. Having a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, right now we're sitting at a 74, but as I mentioned, the sky's a little foggy because of some fires that are going up north in the state. So thinking about everyone, hopefully there's no issues up there. Hopefully everyone's okay. No property damage at the moment, but so it is actually pretty good temperature outside. It's to the point where I'm not going to be dying, whereas even like 2-3 days ago it was like mid-90s for us here as well. Like even in Michigan it was terrible.
Gotta hate that. However, terrible. Chase, I've got news for you.
Cool.
It was something you wanted me to keep you updated on. For those of you that have been listening recently, you know that we've been trying to be a little bit healthier. Now that we're old men at the old age of 25, it's like, oh yeah, it's probably going to be even harder to be healthy once we start getting older. So taking a little bit more serious. So I have been trying a couple different protein powders after the gym. Had the old Cocoa Pebbles Dimatize ISO 100, was sick. And then Chase, a massive Fruity Pebbles fan, I decided to give it a shot for the first time today. Had a little protein shake with it. And I got to tell you, it's exactly what people say. It tastes just like the leftover milk from Fruity Pebbles.
Oh boy, I guess I'm going to buy some tomorrow, eh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh God.
First taste, I was like, no shit, that actually does taste exactly like it. So
that's unreal. That's awesome.
Although I gotta say, I still like the Cocoa Pebbles a little better.
Well, sure. I know you're more of a chocolatey guy than a sweet guy, though. Correct?
Yeah. I would say generally, unless the sweet is like sour.
Yeah. So like that's fair. But Fruity Pebbles are like my 101 of cereals, and they might even come close to topping breakfast foods for me. Maybe they wouldn't take number one, but like they'd fight my top five for just things I'd want to eat for breakfast for sure. I love Fruity Pebbles, so to hear that, I'm even more juiced today.
Yeah, definitely got to give her a go because I have been pleasantly surprised by both.
Hell yeah, I'm excited.
All right, well, on today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, going to be again talking about some Tampa news. Finally, I got a couple signings done, so we'll talk about that here in just a few seconds. Going to be looking at the Stanley Cup Finals, look at Game 1, and what do we expect for Game 2 tonight. Then, after the commercial break, talk about some news from around the league, including a new head coach in the league, old Cole Caulfield, and others. So, let's start with the Bolts. They got some signings done, and then re-signed the absolute legend, exceptional status, freaking best defenseman in the world.
Oh, yeah, man. So, Let's start with that guy. As you said, the absolute beauty legend himself, Sean Day, has re-upped with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Sean Day is, he's actually a local guy. He's a Michigan native. He was the first and only American, at least at this moment, to be granted exceptional player status into the CHL. And really, it's because he's like, he's more Canadian than American. Like he lived in Canada, lived there for a while, grew up there for a while. Played like for Canada internationally, but still, it was a Michigan product at the time of being drafted. So we're going to claim him. The career didn't really quite go his way. He had some struggles, but he has made a pro career out of it. Had a very strong year, for Syracuse in 21-22, got a couple NHL games, not as good of a year this last season. So we'll kind of see what happens going into this one. I mean, he's our age, so he's 25. There's still some time to figure things out. Is he going to be an NHL staple? No. Is he going to be even like a full season NHLer at any time? I kind of doubt it. But he still is good enough to, you know, warrant being that, like, that AHL veteran, like, call-up type guy that you want in an organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Can be that guy when some injuries go down. He can be one of the first names you look at to come up and, at the very least, be serviceable with the limited minutes that he would get in that bottom six.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, I think the first game he played in the NHL, he played like 6 minutes, and you can play him more than that. You can play him like 10 minutes a night, and I don't think he's going to completely botch it, but he's just not going to like bring you anything either.
Mm-hmm. So from re-signing to some new signings, what are we looking at?
So we'll start first off, we signed a forward from Finland, Valtteri Merella. If you guys don't really know anything about him, it's okay, because I didn't really know a ton about him either, but he had a solid season. I'm going to in the Finnish league this year, I should say, excuse me. Another 1998 birth year, so another guy that's, you know, my age. 33 points, 41 games, 15 goals for Tappara. He played in one game of the World Championship, had a goal. I'm not sure why he only played in the one, but he did only play in the one. Is he going to be a guy that cracks the NHL roster this year? Doesn't seem like it. Kind of based on, you know, what we see on paper, but I really don't know too much about him. Haven't seen him in action, so we'll see. And then the second one, you know, this one's a little more interesting. You know, Emil Martinsson Liljeberg, a defenseman from Norway, younger guy, a 2001 birth year, so he's currently 22 at the moment. You know, his last season played in the Swedish Hockey League, 11 points through 46 games, so pretty good stuff. And then played in the World Championships for Norway as well, 7 games, no points, but played some pretty substantial minutes, you know, getting as high as the 26 minute mark for them against Slovenia. So someone that they relied on pretty heavily, even at that young age of the World Championship. It's a good sign. I imagine he's either going to go back to the Swedish league next year, where he did, you know, sign a contract not too long ago. But with the IHF NHL, you know, transfer agreement, that contract can be foregone. He can come to North America. But he'll either be playing there or he'll spend some time in Syracuse. Don't really imagine him as an NHLer this year at any point.
Yeah, but two really interesting signings, because these guys are young enough and they have shown some decent promise across seas. So to have these guys come over in a franchise that doesn't necessarily have the best when it comes to younger players, when it comes to prospects, they don't have the best pool of young talent. So to bring these two guys over, potentially at some point they may be able to make the NHL roster. It's something that's super interesting, super cool to look at. I also love to see the size on Morella, being 6'2", 200 pounds as a forward. You always love to see that. And then Liljeberg, actually about the same size.
I don't know. Decent sized D-man as well. I'm coming in at 6'2", 192. And he's someone that, you know, playing in his, you know, in the Norwegian leagues as a younger kid, he won Rookie of the Year first year he played. Had 12 assists for 39 games. It's pretty good stuff, regardless of the league it is. Or actually, that was the second year, I apologize. But regardless of the year of the league that it is, still, like, solid numbers for a young kid in that league. Had a solid year in Sweden. So who knows? At that age, he might have some offensive upside to him, but he's probably really more high-end, like that number five defenseman on your team that plays a reliable two-way game. Maybe he gets 18 to 23 points in the year.
Yeah, it's nice to see. Now, when we go and look at the Stanley Cup Finals, obviously we know what teams are in there, Florida versus Vegas. We had game one Saturday night. Final was 5-2, but I thought the game overall played a little bit closer than what the scoreboard shows, as well as it was a pretty exciting game, even though the team I was rooting for didn't necessarily take it home.
You know, it was a very good game for sure. From kind of start to finish, even though, as you said, it does appear like a bigger gap on the scoreboard, part of that's due to an empty net, but it was a close game. I mean, shots were close to even. Florida, you know, outshot Vegas by one. Really what it came down to was Vegas capitalized on their opportunities a little more than Florida did. You know, they had a couple high, you know, high end scoring chances that end up in the back of the net, where Florida, you know, a couple big misses, you know, the big, big miss for Nick Cousins on what was just a free empty net. And Aiden Hill gets the stick there. Then the puck bounces in the air. Nick Cousins still has a chance to hit it. Can't get it down into the net. That's a tough one. Tough look, but, you know, shit happens sometimes. It was just kind of a game where, even though Florida did all they could, it just kind of wasn't meant to be the way things unfolded with those types of things.
Yeah, when you look at it, Vegas was able to keep Matthew Tkachuk off the board, and later on, he gets ejected. I think it was in, like, the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game, though. Gets ejected for being maybe a little bit too physical, while Sergei Bobrovsky, on the other side, you know, the best two players easily for Florida coming up to this point, didn't have his best night. Now, I don't think he was horrible. Again, when you look at the save percentage, when you look at him giving up 4 goals, it looks like he had a really bad night, but I feel like he had some pretty big saves there, and all the blame definitely can't be towards him. But to keep Tkachuk off the board and to stagger Bobrovsky a little bit like this in game one shows some promise for Vegas.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody played, you know, particularly like bad on that Florida team. Just, you know, it really, like, at the end of the day, teams are going to get high on scoring chances. A goalie isn't going to make every single save. So, like, sometimes they catch, sometimes they don't. And that's just what happened there. So you can't really blame Bob, say, oh, he had a tough night, because I thought he did play overall well. He did enough to help his team win. If he had a little better support on those couple goals that went in, and if he had a little more offensive support. But you definitely are right there, where it is a good sign for Vegas. That, you know, a good kind of plant your flag game one at home. Like, this is our ice. You got to come in and infiltrate it. We're not giving it to you. They played great, but we'll kind of see what happens here in game two. I think Florida's going to come out a little bit different. I think Matthew Tkachuk's going to come out ready to kill. It should be pretty fun.
Yeah, and we mentioned that going into game one, Florida on a 10-day break, how would they look when they actually come out for game one? I don't think they were very slow. I don't think they were, you know, at peak Florida that we've seen against Carolina, but they didn't look slow. Like you said, no one necessarily looked bad on that Florida team, but game two, I think there's definitely going to be a little shift in mentality, a little shift when it comes to the look. Now, who you taking in game two? We got that tonight. You got Florida in this one to tie the series, or you think Vegas takes it 2-0?
So, here's what I can tell you for sure. I think whoever wins this game also wins game three. And whether that's Florida, whether that's Vegas, you know, we're going to see. But I think whoever wins this game is going to win game three, because either Vegas is going to carry that two-win momentum into Florida and, you know, be ready to just kind of big dick swing in and fuck them up. Or Florida comes in and says, yeah, you're what you did to us, you're not doing that again. We're taking this home. Good luck, you know, coming into our house. Which way is it going to go? It's hard to say. If I had to pick one, I'm going to pick Florida, though. I think Florida bounces back well. We've seen them come back, you know, already down in series. We've seen them bounce back pretty well. And I think this could very well be the case here tonight.
Everyone knows that hedging your bets against Chase is a good thing. So I'm going to take Vegas tonight, and then I'm going to take Florida in game three, because that is the exact opposite of what you said. Both one team takes both games two and three. I decided to switch that up, and then Florida wins tonight. I'll switch that up as well. Give me Vegas. So I'll say Vegas tonight 2-0, but then Florida gets game three. How you like that?
Are you saying they're going to win 2-0, or like 2-0 series?
They'll go up 2-0 in the series.
Winning 2-0, that'd be exciting. Woo. Oh man! All right. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think here. Maybe I say Florida's going to win, and I hedge myself and I pick Vegas. But then so that way I'm happy no matter what, because I'm either correct or I win money. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. Once we get to the second half of the show and we get past our ad read, you'll kind of have an idea what I've decided on, because I'm kind of working on it right now.
Yeah, and if any of you are interested in hedging Chase's bet, you can go do that over with our friends at DraftKings. Light the lamp during the hockey playoffs with the DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can make a $5 bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN, only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit helplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/hockey terms. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. So, Chase, you had a minute there. What are we thinking?
Well, I made a little same game parlay here. Same game parlay, you know, from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Here's what I decided upon. You can choose to go with this. You choose to hedge. You're going to have time to listen to this before the game tonight. And if you would like to, you know, do something with this, Mike, feel free. But I have Florida Panthers money line. I have under 5.5 goals and even for a total goal scored. So basically what I'm saying here is I think we're going to – I chose, you know, 5.5 just in case. But I think that we're going to end up with like a 3-1 game. You know, maybe I could have gone 4.5 for better odds, but I'm also taking all these individually, so that's why I went with the 5.5. But if this does happen and we get even goal total and under 5.5 and Florida Panthers, that's a plus 1,200 odd bet. So do with that as you please.
And not going with the hedge, eh?
No, I'm not going with the hedge. I plant my flag. That's how I operate, baby.
Okay, I guess so. And, well, I hope it works for you, my friend.
You know, I also hope so. So I appreciate that.
All right, new head coach over in Anaheim. What are we thinking?
Yeah, so, you know, going to be honest with you, I really don't know much about him, but Greg Cronin, new head coach of the Anaheim Ducks, came from the Colorado Eagles, who, you know, at one time were an East Coast Hockey League team, ended up moving up to the American Hockey League once Vegas kind of came in and there needed to be 31 teams. So they moved up. Now Coachella Valley's in, makes it 32, but it's a very successful team, just has a very rich history between the East Coast League and the American Hockey League of doing really well, winning hockey games. So it's a fair hire. I like that somebody new is getting an opportunity. First time NHL head coach. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. And where's Anaheim pick again? Are they 2-3?
Anaheim picks two. That's right. Yeah. They pick two.
So they likely bring in another very talented player this year to go alongside already a decent young core over there. So Cronin definitely going to have the players, or at least the young players, to hopefully build around and continue some growth and development there in Anaheim.
Yeah, he's walking into a good spot because the team, like, they weren't very good this year, but like as you kind of mentioned, like there's some young pieces coming in. I think there is a solid foundation, so you know there's a good opportunity to really take this thing and kind of get running. Hopefully, you can figure out John Gibson, become a little more consistent, and who knows, maybe this team has a decent season next year.
Absolutely. Let's look at Cole Caulfield now. Now, I'll tell you what, before we got into this, I did not know that old Caulfield got paid, but boy, did he get paid. I was at work today. We had 10 new people start, so I was kind of in charge of helping out a couple of the newbies and kind of missed all of the hockey football news of the day, but seeing Caulfield's contract, I'm so happy for that kid.
Yeah, he got a pretty decent payday. You know, an 8-year deal at a 7.85 average. This could end up being, big steal. I think at worst, it's going to be a fair enough price, but it could end up being a really good value. If he ends up, you know, keep on rolling, becomes a 40 plus goal guy every year, then like that's a great value for Montreal, and he's still getting paid, you know, a good chunk to change. So that's awesome for the American kid, for the guy that got way too much hate in his draft year. Yet again, someone that I was high on, but the NHL let slip a little bit. Sure enough, he's a stud, and I think he can be at least a 30 goal guy every single year, like as long as he's healthy. So I'd be happy to pay this price if I were, you know, a Montreal Canadian executive, and I think he's obviously very happy to take this dollar amount.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping that we can see a full healthy season from him next year, because boy, he is a fun player to watch. You look, 46 games, 26 goals. So, bro was on at least a 40-goal pace, and just really hoping he can stay healthy in this next year. We can really see what he truly can do in the NHL.
Yeah, man, I do hope so, because he has a lot of talent. He really does. So if he can get rolling, and who knows, maybe Rostovkovsky can come in and they can be a little bit of a power duo, even maybe not on the top, you know, top line together, but good supplemental pieces. You know, imagine both of them on the power play together. Like there could be some real dominance. We'll see.
Yeah, be a lot of fun. All right, let's talk about the Mem Cup. Who took that home?
Yeah, the Quebec Remparts beat the Seattle Thunderbirds. Excuse me. The Quebec Remparts beat the Seattle Thunderbirds in the Mem Cup final. Can't forget the other two teams. The Kamloops Blazers were the host team, and they lost in the semis. And then the lowly Peterborough Petes kind of went along for the ride. Got mollywopped in one of the games. I think 10-1 was the final, maybe 10-2. But yeah, it was kind of Quebec's trophy to lose. They looked really strong all season long. They were the best team in the CHL, and it really is not a surprise that they came away with this. Patty Watt gets a win as head coach of that organization. I know he was happy for that, and good for those kids, good for that franchise, because it is a very strong historical franchise within the CHL. So good for them to bring that trophy back and kind of restore that that history.
Yeah, and I heard that Columbus fans were kind of hoping for Patty Waugh to become that next head coach of their beloved team. That turns out not to be the case, as Babcock's going to be making a return.
Yeah, I forgot about that one, so I wanted to pretend it didn't exist, because I am not a Mike Babcock guy, but Mike Babcock going to take the job in Columbus just to play some more mind games with the young players and make them turn on their veterans and be a really good coach, a really great human being, someone who treated Johan Franzen so well, that was so beloved by all of his players. Man, he's just the guy. Columbus, you're going to be so happy, fans. You're going to be so happy to have that guy as your leader.
Yeah, and Nasher talked about it. If anyone knows Nasher, big Columbus guy, big YouTube personality when it comes to hockey YouTube. He was kind of talking about the hiring as not his favorite, and he's hoping that Babcock has kind of changed as a person during this prolonged break. But he has had success as an NHL coach before, so he's not completely against it. But at the same time, he's really hoping that the personality has changed a little bit, because if not, this could come to a halt very quickly.
Yeah, no, I definitely hope that, I hope for their sake that maybe I am wrong, maybe he has changed, but like I don't believe in him. I've met the guy, and he was not the most pleasant human being in person, and you really don't get better with that as you age, so I don't imagine much change. Nasher, I understand you want to be hopeful, but I would be livid if I was a fan of the team and this was the signing. This would be like worst case scenario for me.
Yeah, especially with younger guys coming in, I just feel like going to the old veteran oriented coach, it kind of feels like maybe that wasn't the right route. But then again, when you look at the front office, it seems like Columbus as a whole has a lot of change coming if the wins don't start coming. So this might be the last ditch effort for that front office to be like, hey, we need to get some wins on the board or else our jobs are gone. Maybe Babcock's the answer.
Maybe he is. I don't know. But if it does not work out, I can tell you for sure that it's going to be a clean sweep. Everybody in that building will be wiped out and they'll be starting fresh.
Yep. All right, hockey name of the day now. We've got, I don't want to say Arthur, because it's like, it's never Arthur, is it?
I don't know.
Gosh, I don't like that last name. Oganzanian? Oganzanian? I'm going to go Arthur Oganzanian.
Yeah, good for you for going Arthur, because it is Arthur. Arthurs do exist.
Let's go.
And Oganjanian, you got it. It's more of a ZH, it's more of a J. Yeah, so yeah. Arthur Oganjanian. So Arthur Oganjanian, he is a Ukrainian goalie. 2000 birth year, he'll be turning 23 here in August, but currently sits at 22. 6 foot, 181. Spent some time over here in North America. Played 18U AAA for a year. Played a year in the WSHL before that ended up going extinct, and then spent some time in the NCDC, which is a tier 2 league. Most recently, a couple of years playing in Ukraine, played in the one of the Swedish leagues, the Division II league, which is a lower end pro league, and now he's making the jump to the Hockey Eten, which is their third level league in Sweden. So, yeah, he's moving up the ranks pretty good. Someone that, you know, maybe if he keeps going on this path, he could end up being, you know, maybe a decent staple for them internationally. Does have experience at the U20 level. Does have experience playing in an Olympic game qualifier. Like he definitely has a decent kind of resume for a hockey minority country. And if that continues to build, who knows? Maybe when we see some more world championships with Ukraine in them, he's a name that we see.
I can already see it. This is just picturesque. It's stories from only fiction. Okay, you got this young man comes in, plays outstanding for Ukraine, kind of, you know, at the level of what we saw Peter Mrazek and Christos Gudlevskis do, really get this Ukraine team to competing for medals. And you name him Kane Arthur. Oh, chills.
Oh, my God.
Didn't like that one?
No, that was terrible. Terrible.
I mean, I don't know. All right, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank so much for coming out and giving it a listen. Chase, if you could, hit him with an outro.
As always, I want to thank you guys for listening. You want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at Hockey Podnet, it's at Hockey Podnet. While you're at it, go follow WNP on Twitter at WNP Sports Pod, that's WNP Sports Pod. Make sure the HockeyPodcastNetwork.com. You can find all the pods of the network right there. Boom, click the logo. It's an easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever this thing rates 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns. We'd appreciate it. Whatever you do, don't forget to go to THPN and it's time for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for coming out. We'll talk to you next time.